everyone.
Hi. Oh, wait, I just dropped my mic on my face.
Yay, dropping mics on face. That's what we're going to do today. Uh-huh. So thank you for listening to Thank You For Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast. If you've listened to us before, thank you for listening to us again. If you haven't listened to us before, I just told you what the podcast is about, so cool. So I am Anthony Desimito, and today we have today's a very special episode. I say that all the time.
Did I get molested?
Sit right here.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I say that all the time. But
that was a refreshed memory. Leslie molested me.
Leslie did molest you.
She has a couple times, actually.
So right our now. Episode is really awesome because Genevieve is in Oklahoma right now. So we actually have...
That's the awesome part.
Yeah, that's the awesome... She's gone. Uh-huh. We got rid of her. It's super cool. And so actually we have a special guest co-host because of that, and that is Leslie Barton.
That would be me. Yay. Special co-host.
And as per usual, we have our very awesome special guest comedian, Michelle Balloon, is here today.
Yay!
Look at her go.
Look at me. She's just a mile a minute. Punchline.
None of those punchlines are being tracked in your bracelet.
Fast. Yeah, no. Sorry. I was complaining before we started.
No, we were complaining about the Fit Band. Not the Fit Band,
up
but
24 by
Up
Jawbone.
24.
I have one. I said, if it doesn't work, man, it's just a black bracelet. I didn't pay $100 for a black bracelet.
Don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
Or buy it because Michelle Balloon has one.
Yeah, it looks good. Don't buy it yet.
Don't wait till... Like
wait till Michelle stops complaining about it on Twitter. Check at Balloon, and if I'm still complaining about it, hold off on buying it.
Right. If she gives you the gecko, then purchase it.
Yeah.
So we watched an awesome episode of the Golden Girls today.
It was
jam packed, and it was like they did not give a fuck about anything in this one. The writers
didn't give a fuck about anything in the 80s.
That's true. That's very true. There's a lot of that they not give a fuck of. But this one especially.
Yeah.
And you'll listen and see why. But first, Michelle, tell us a little bit about your background with the Golden Girls and your life. And
yes, tell us.
Tell us. We want to know.
We go way back. Mm. Me and the GGs.
Me
and Rue, So, Doe, and Blah. No, I love the Golden Girls, you know. I was, you know, heavy TV watching at that time.
How old were you?
I was, this was 85, so I was 9, depending on what time of the year it is.
That's prime TV heavy watching.
Yeah. And I was Golden Girls, Family Ties, Cosby Show. Fuck that guy. But
A good show.
Yeah.
It was a good show. But
no,
fuck
Cosby
that
show
guy.
Was great. Yeah. Cosby Show was great.
Cosby Show was great. Yeah.
And and I love the Golden Girls. I've probably seen every episode. I just I haven't watched it in so long because I don't really watch the reruns. So like I'm sure I saw this one, but I don't remember seeing it. You know, so it was new to me, which is fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know,
but I remember things about it. You know, like the lanai, cheesecake.
There's certain episodes that are like clear as day to me, and some that I'm just like, "What the fuck happened?"
Mm-hmm.
But there will be episodes where like, "This is the one where Rose gets fucked in a boat." Yeah. Like that's great.
I don't have that memory.
Yeah. Oh well. So let's get right into it. So the episode that we watched was episode 13, and it's called Little Romance. And the original air date was December 14th, 1985. So it's exactly almost 29 years ago, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Stick a fork in me.
And December 14th,
I was 9 then for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would be born in 2 years.
What?
Yay!
What? Not even an ovum.
Wow.
I was, hold on. I was 20 and going to gay bars.
Wow. Yay.
Lesbian bars.
Yeah.
Bars. Sorry. Oh. Yeah. Nice.
In the 80s, that must have been fun.
Mm. I had no clue. I'm barely grown up right now. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing anywhere.
And so the episode starts off with Sophia is comes into the kitchen and she's putting New England clam sauce into her suitcase.
She never says New England.
But it was red, so I assume.
Well, that's what my I wrote in my first note here. What's in clam sauce?
Wait, New England.
You're thinking of chowder.
Am I thinking of chowder?
No, she's Italian. She's
so it's Manhattan.
No. Wait. You're thinking of chowder. It is a red sauce for pasta.
Okay, clam sauce has
nothing to do.
Nothing to do with chowder. Okay.
Yeah. I'm confused though. So is she gonna unscrew the tops of these mason jars while she's on the plane?
I don't
because
get it either.
The whole thing was like they have snacks on the plane.
That joke made no sense to me. And then it was like, what kind of food do they eat? So is it for the plane? Is it for maybe Dorothy was just joking?
Two
and then,
seats
like,
down. There's
I think
a lady. Who's
I think
the lady
she,
unscrewing
I think
the clam
she was
sauce?
Joking because then Sophia's like, good one, ha ha, like that wasn't funny. And so then
she's leaking clam sauce later when she tries to.
Disgusting. That's kind of sexual.
Yeah.
That's really sexual, leaking
I
clam sauce.
I want to look up a recipe for clam sauce now because now I'm like fascinated. With
right.
Red,
and,
which I've never had red clam sauce before.
I never had red clam sauce. And also, if it is homemade, you should probably refrigerate that. I mean, they have them stored under the shelf. Maybe she made it that morning.
But when you buy spaghetti sauce from the grocery store, it's on the shelf. So maybe they sealed it. And
so maybe she sealed
maybe
it.
Fine. Yeah,
yeah. Sophia stayed up late making clam sauce in the kitchen.
Yeah, and maybe it's still warm.
They should have sold that shit. I would have bought some Golden Girls clam sauce.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
Sophia's clam sauce.
Right.
That Sophia's,
maybe she was selling the clam sauce at the airport.
Did you notice she was carrying her purse at every part when she was in the dream sequence, when she was at the inner pajamas when she
even
came
in the dream
at the last
sequence,
minute, like she
everywhere
that
she goes,
purse.
She'll like sleep with her purse.
Is that
like,
in every episode she has her purse on?
Yeah, single scene that unless she's carrying something like a bag of chips, sometimes she won't have her purse.
It's a metaphor for her vagina,
right? Yeah, I think she
we
just,
know that, right?
For clam sauce is a metaphor for her vagina. And
hello.
I think she's just scared that like Rose is gonna steal something from her purse.
That's true.
Like I think she has money in there, checks, probably things she stole.
Yeah,
you know,
tickets.
She's more afraid of
tickets.
Blanche.
I think maybe Blanche.
Rose
yeah.
is too stupid to steal.
She's yeah.
Dorothy.
You're right.
I think Dorothy is the one that steals.
Dorothy had there was some teenage years where she had a rough time going with Sophia. I think she stole money out of Sophia's purse.
Right.
You know.
Oh, that makes sense.
A tall girl. Sorry, go
yeah,
on.
Tall girl steal.
Tall girl steals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so sure. Then she explains that the reason that she's taking all the sauce is because she's going to go visit Phil, which is her son, Dorothy's brother, and the wife never cooks. She just the only reason she goes into the kitchen is to grab a beer. Kind of badass, I think. But
that whole thing was weird.
Yeah, like they painted this whole picture of Phil's family.
You're
like,
they have 10 kids, which I'd never heard before. I mean, or maybe I had, but I don't remember. And then the other weird thing is when she said like, oh, and then she's going to be rich when her dad gets out of prison. Like that doesn't make any sense to me.
That was really weird.
I want a whole other story about this. Does he have a buried treasure somewhere?
Right.
Like that doesn't readily make sense to
me.
Well,
what makes, well, Phil. That's why no one's going to work or or school is because they got mafia money.
Yeah.
Well, the kid's going to dog grooming.
Dog grooming
school.
Yeah, which is like a front for something.
Obviously.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, she says the six sons are going to give Sophia her room. And so you should be, don't fight with Phil's wife. You guys have to get along. And that's when she says, I'm not going to fight with her because her dad's going to she's going to be wealthy once her dad gets out of prison, you're right. That did not make sense. Mm-hmm. Like, and one thing that happens later on in the series, Phil ends up dying. Like he dies of something.
Oh.
And then it turns out that he was a cross-dresser.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler God. Alert. Yeah.
Are you watching these in order? You 85. Just proved it.
That's one of the ones that I remember. And so, because they had Gloria comes back and everybody comes back.
So let me get this straight. You remember from when you were a kid the episode where Phil comes out as a cross-dresser.
Well, we never meet.
Oh, I remember that one really vaguely.
We don't meet Phil ever. It's just he died, and then they found a bunch of women's clothes.
Oh, God, yeah. I gotta go clean my closets out. It reminds me.
And so that kind of makes sense that she's a welder because he's cross-dressing. And so, like, you know, they're switching roles, you know, which is something that was happening in the 80s. You know, she welds, she drinks beer, he cross-dresses.
Okay.
Right? And then they fucking have 10 kids. That's how it happens. Yeah. And
10 kids.
So silly. And so...
Right, so it's like there was one writer on the show who was like, we really want to hit serious issues, you guys. These are like bones they're throwing in, like an arc that never happens. Like, okay, fine. Yeah, this is what he's really like.
Let's throw some Easter eggs at the beginning of the series.
This really means... double meaning.
Right, but I was thinking like maybe like her dad got out of prison, killed Phil, and they got insurance money, and that's how she became wealthy.
Maybe
that was my backstory on that.
I think that's fair
I
enough.
Feel like I you just pulled an Angela Lansbury on us with that.
I've been listening to Serial podcast, so I'm like, I'm gonna figure out all these murders.
Gotcha.
Okay, and so apparently animal grooming school is big enough deal for Sophia to go.
Yeah, that was weird. I thought that whole plot was weird. I felt like she didn't even have like what they didn't even have to do it for like the
totally
it was, like,
contrived.
They could have like why didn't she just go to the store and then didn't come back in that first scene and then walked in and because she was somewhere else like it didn't go anywhere. It just seems weird. Like they cut out something else entirely that.
Because the purpose of her leaving was to come in and react to the midget.
Yeah.
But she didn't have... They were like, how do we get her out of the house? Oh, she goes on this trip.
Yeah.
Like the writer...
And there was nothing else about it ever except for like a couple lines. Yeah.
Right. Like it was just conclusive in 2 minutes, like in 2 sentences, like why she came back. Oh, he didn't graduate. Duh. We're done. And so... and also animal grooming school. I was looking it up. And today it costs like $4,000 to $5,000 to go to grooming school. And I was like, okay, that's almost a semester at ASU. Like, that's a lot of money to learn how to wash dogs. And so.
Back then it might have been like $2,000 though.
Yeah.
$2,000, right? Probably.
$1,500, $2,000.
It was probably a newer.
Which, surprisingly enough, was still the same amount of money it cost to go to ASU.
Yeah.
And, yeah, totally. And so then Blanche comes in and she's like, guess what? I figured out how to meet men.
That's right.
I took a CPR class. And
when has that ever happened? When and what time can you getting a CPR in class?
Can you imagine
you guys
that
make
class?
Out?
Well, can the, you imagine like, they were that like, class? Yeah, like they were like, hey, we lost our dummy. Anybody want to volunteer?
Can you imagine her crawling all over the desk, jumping
so she's
up
like,
from behind?
Oh, me. And so for 6 hours, she's laying there.
Well, how come that wouldn't even be comfortable? That sounds terrible.
I'm going to call AVN because that's a gangbang. Yeah. She just broke a
she
world's
just
record.
A gangbang. Yeah.
Like, I think she confused CPR for bukkake. I think that's what happened. She just, like, she had men pressing up against her breast.
It's easy to do.
Yeah.
Why is it
easy
all,
to do?
The Heimlich maneuver. Yeah.
Why is it all men?
Yeah, like there were dozens of men,
there were.
And they were all eligible. Like they're all single men.
I feel like they were
like,
firemen.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Maybe it was all
fireman
like
CPR,
like the firemen. All Miami County firemen had to like.
I want to know the background to all of the jokes. I like them, but I don't. I feel that there's some holes.
There were definitely holes. I don't know. Like, I bet there was another girl in the class. I mean, maybe she didn't mention her.
Yeah.
Maybe she liked it anyway.
That would be a
whole
different
story. That's Blanche's shame.
If there were women in the class, she would have still been into it.
The night's her secret tryst that she just can't stop herself.
I bet you the class was only like an hour long, and then for the rest of the 5 hours, she just like...
She blacked out.
She blacked out, just let men...
Like a Wizard of Oz experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay, that's a lot of, like dozens of men, that's a lot of DNA into your lungs.
You were coming on my tits, and you were coming on my tits.
Well, and then Dorothy says, you did the same thing at McSorley's at Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, that was really funny. Like, they said that, and then I'm like, has there ever been a storyline where she goes out bar hopping? It just seemed like a weird sort of, like thing about Blanche where I'm just like, it just didn't even...
every now and then they mention, like, you go to Wally's on happy hour.
I'm like, when did that like, happen?
Yeah. So,
how come we don't get to see those episodes?
Yeah, I know. I want to see the McSorley's episode. Yeah.
No, there is an episode where Blanche is at a bar and there's a piano man and she jumps on top of the piano. And it's nothing but, like, sailors also in this bar, and she starts singing this song, and for like five
in a retirement community
I don't know, I just remember like her on a piano and all these men are like going gaga over her and she's singing. So there's some episode where she's at a bar getting it on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Sure. I wrote down here how I just wrote down as a note, Rue's face is so flat.
Okay.
Is there an episode about that?
I have brought this issue up before, and everybody that was in the podcast was like, you're just being mean.
No.
But I was like if you look at Rue's face, and not from the front, but from the side, like, it looks a little mushed in and little. Like it was,
I think you're being kind.
Okay.
When you say it a little mushed in.
Well, that's
it
because
is the flattest face I've ever seen.
Thank
it's like
you.
Flat like. Like, what's a guy from Reservoir Dogs also has a flat face?
Steve Buscemi?
No, not Steve Buscemi. The jawbone big guy.
Madsen?
Michael Madsen. Yeah, he's got a flat face.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But that's flat, man.
Right. Like, she's very, very pretty, I think.
I mean, she's
she's a striking woman.
She's striking. If I look at like Betty White to me is pretty. When I look at her, she's like a caricature.
I want to do a podcast on how you can't pronounce the word caricature.
Caricature podcast.
She just looks like Blanche.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't.
Yeah.
You're not looking at her like, that's Sophia Loren. You know what I mean? Like, there's
like
between Blanche and Sophia Loren, who's like an actual striking, gorgeous older lady.
Right.
There is the universe between them.
Right.
Not the universe. That's kind of hard.
Right? Wow.
She's dead, though, right?
Actually, there is a universe between the width of their noses. You could fit an entire universe, but if you tried to press their faces together, there would be an entire universe. No. Anyway.
I'm just saying that she's
no, thank you for addressing the face thing, because I have been the only one that has addressed it before, and I let it go.
She's
because
dead too.
Yeah,
so,
so bless her heart. I mean, oh, sorry.
I'm sure she made jokes about it at her own.
Okay, and so then Rose comes in, and she's wearing this turquoise silk outfit, and then Blanche is like, oh, to the untrained eye, that could pass as silk, that polyester. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, dude, this is silk. And okay, and so and
pop
then,
culture reference joke right here.
Oh yeah, and she's like, and she, and then
oh,
she's like
Cheryl Teague,
sure,
also.
Like Cheryl, yeah, for that. That's as if that's silk. Like Cheryl Teague really shops at Sears, and so such an 80s reference.
I like that. Yeah,
yeah,
it was cute because you were just like, oh, like that was a thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Everybody at home laughed.
She, right. I know she was the model.
There may have actually been a Cheryl Teague's clothing line, Sears clothing line commercial.
Yeah,
sometime
yeah,
during this,
good.
I would think so. Yeah.
There was, I think. She had everything.
There'd have to be.
Didn't she?
Yeah, she was big.
Mm-hmm. And so then they're trying to get Rose to tell them who Dr. Jonathan Newman is. And they can't, like, she's just pushing away. She's like, I don't want to tell you. She's like, you've been out with him like 5 times in the past 3 weeks. And by the way, I'm assuming that that's how long they've dated, is 3 weeks, right?
Yeah,
Sounds that way.
Right, because...
But I feel like on this series, there's always been like these sort of weird, with all of them, where suddenly they're about to marry, they're very serious, and it's just some random Joe that's been in no episodes, you know? Some of them have been in more than, a few episodes.
That did happen, yeah.
Right. There has been, like, later on in the series...
Rose had a relationship and Dorothy had one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Later on, towards the end, like, they all start dating the men that they end up with, kind of, and so they come in and out. And so,
good one. I want to high five.
In and out. In and out.
They come in and out. That's weird to come in and out
of the vaginas.
On your tits.
Oh, yeah. Then you're. That's why you go out. I was wondering why they go out.
And so.
But Rose, you skipped a part. You skipped a joke that I wrote down.
Which one?
when she says something about dating a psychiatrist, and then Sophia walks in and she says, she goes, "Oh, good, finally you're psychiatrist," something, and then Dorothy says, no, someone says, like, "Oh, she names her gingerbread men."
Right.
But it was weird because I'm like, what? The way she said it, like, does she make gingerbread? Like, those are the kind of things that sort of, like, bug me. And I love Golden Girls. Right. It's going to bug me. But if I would have seen her, it's not like they're talking about cheesecake. It's not like they should have said she names her cheesecakes.
Right.
Because you know they have cheesecake all the time.
Right.
I don't know about her problem with making gingerbread men.
It was Sophia that said that because Sophia. She comes in and she hears the tail end of the story. Uh-huh. Like, oh, you're seeing a psychiatrist? It's about time. The woman dates gingerbread. No, names her gingerbread man, which I don't think it's too weird to name them if you make them. You know, you can jokingly name the gingerbread man. Yeah. And also, my only reason for that gingerbread reference was it was December 14th. And so they're Christmassy. I don't know.
You know? Oh, yeah. There you go. I like this.
So what is she naming these gingerbread men? Like, after what? After all the men she's banged throughout her life? Because she's not a whore.
So maybe she was making these gingerbread men in front of him, and he's Jewish, and he's just like pissed off because it's Christmassy.
None of them were circumcised.
None of them were circumcised, and they were all really tall gingerbread men. Yeah.
They were gingerbread men.
not gingerbread midgets.
Not gingerbread midgets.
He was
midgets.
Really offended by that. Okay, and so Blanche keeps bugging her. You can't go. You got to tell us about him. She's like, Rose says, well, he's nice. He's great. He's a very busy guy. And I'll have him over sometime.
Yeah.
And so then.
Acting shifty the whole time.
Sorry. I keep stealing your pen.
No, this is your pen. I'm stealing it from you.
Okay.
I just like to make sure I'm hitting all my.
I'm not even using a pen. I'm just. Okay. And okay. So then Rose is like, I'll take you to the airport, Sophia. She's like, good, because I'm leaking clam sauce.
Mm-hmm. that was a callback.
Right, yeah, that was a callback to the earlier clam jokes. And so Dorothy and Blanche want to know more about him. And so,
And she can't look him in the eye either, like to point out.
Right, yeah, she's very bad at secret dating, by the way.
Very shifty.
Yeah.
Right, and so
seen him 3 weeks.
That's when Dorothy's like, "Ma, don't fight with Phil's wife," and that whole like, "Don't worry, her dad's gonna get out of prison," comes out.
So
then it cuts to Rose and Blanche. I imagine a few days later, they're in the patio in the lanai, and they're setting up plates outside for dinner. Mm-hmm. And Rose is really mad, like she's pouty.
Mm-hmm. She's the lip remark. What was the lip remark?
Your lip is going to, I don't know, something inside your, it's going to be disappear.
Right. Like
I can always tell when you're mad because your lips
you
get
purse your
tiny.
Lips so tight that they almost disappear. It's cute. Like it's what little kids do. Yeah. And Sophia.
She's like a little kid.
Rose is like a little kid. And they tease her like a little kid. Yeah. Right.
Well, they're all the super ego, the id, and the, I mean, that's what I get from the.
Look at you.
I was going to.
Well, we know who the super ego is in this group.
I'm a robot. Go on.
And Rose is like, dude, Blanche, I wanted to invite him myself because he's a very special person. Mm-hmm. And Blanche was like, I couldn't help myself. I was on the phone with him. Mm-hmm. Like chatting it up, like
so, yeah, right. And then she tells him about her dream.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. Okay. we'll get to that. She wants. Okay. So she wanted to invite Jonathan herself. Mm-hmm. She thought it was presumptuous of Blanche,
which it was actually.
It really yes. was. Yeah. I thought that was really rude of her to do. But Blanche is like that kind of friend that just like pushes and steps boundaries, you know. She has no boundaries.
She doesn't.
A lot of these characters really just don't have a lot of boundaries. Yeah. And so, okay, so then she starts making fun of her lips. Dorothy comes in and she's like, did her lips come out yet?
Which I totally immediately thought of her vagina because I'm a douchebag that way.
Are her lips come out yet?
Labia, sorry.
Has clam juice come out of them yet?
That's disgusting.
That is so gross. Okay, and so I don't know. They're just teasing her because they don't know. And Rose, the thing about that is Rose doesn't tell them. Mm-hmm. Like she should have just told them.
Just say, yeah.
Like she waits until they see him. Like she was that embarrassed and in that much of a dark place.
Yeah, and it's just funny because, like, it's like when he gets finally gets introduced, they act like he's an alien.
Oh, man.
You right? know what I mean? They act like they're, like, at least, you know, the 80s are different, but, like, they act like something where, like, let's say he was one of those people that, like, lost their face and, like, right. that chimp, when the chimp ate that lady. Like, that's right. that's what they acted like. We're like, oh.
Or, like, a person that got into a burn accident.
Yeah, exactly. Like, something like that's sort of, like, that jarring. You know, like, there's oh, you don't have, he doesn't have any legs or arms. Like,
Yeah.
You know? Like, but no, he was just a
their
little
reaction,
person.
They, like, they were, it was cartoony. Just like, what? You're the midget? Uh-huh. The little person that's not like me? Like,
I feel like they should have, like, honestly, like, I felt like he was just devoid of, like, charm. He wasn't that handsome. Like, I wish they would have picked somebody that was kind of like a little silver fox or something that you would have been like, you know, like, you would have said, like, oh, like, you know,
like,
God,
you could
he's
see
so
yourself.
Handsome. Yes,
right.
But you couldn't. He had, like,
him, right.
weird skin.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He was not attractive. His suit like, did not look good on him.
He looked like
those. He was
like
annoying. I thought he was kind of like, yeah, it was just
the voice.
His voice was just like,
Right. Even I think if I met him as a normal person, if he was a normal person, I would still be like, you're kind of obnoxious.
Pompous. Yeah.
Right. You're pompous. I mean, you keep bragging about yourself.
No. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, okay. And so then, so Rose goes to check on the dinner and they tell her and Dorothy, that's when Blanche is like, I can't wait to meet him. He seemed wonderful on the phone. He analyzed my dream. Mm-hmm. Like it was her dream. What? And then they go inside, they step inside into the living room. Like, which dream? And she's like, Dorothy says, which dream? And then Blanche is like, the one where the train is going, it keeps going through all the tunnels, and then this shirtless or naked or sweaty body builder keeps chasing me around, and that was like really sexual, like more than like I started thinking about the train going in through tunnels. And I was just like, don't,
I think that's
some
of the writers wanted.
Like, and then a man's chasing you. Like, that's aggressively sexual. Like, listeners, if you didn't see, I know you can't see this, but I was using my hand to fist my other hand, making these trains into tunnels motion.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, really. Like that, yeah.
You know what? That might have been
that's
her dream.
Turned me on.
A short Hispanic man making fisting.
Yeah, there
in
we
my
go.
Dream,
that's
doctor, there was a short Hispanic man making fisting motions with his hands.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do.
I'm
going to
have a
time.
Dream about that later.
Please do. It'll be great. Okay. And so, yeah, the train is a metaphor for a penis, for the midget's penis, and then the tunnel.
She's having
penis.
A dream about her CPR activities.
Yeah. She doesn't know that he's a little person yet.
She doesn't know yet. Yeah, she doesn't know yet.
She just had this weird sex dream.
Yeah.
Right. But you know that Dr. Jonathan Newman was like really turned on by that.
I wonder if he was fapping.
Why wouldn't you?
Right. And then, of course, he's going to say, I'll come to...
the 80s version of fapping is.
Right. The 80s version of a fat penis.
Chapping?
No, fapping.
Oh, fapping? Okay, it's a fat penis.
No.
Oh.
They still call it a fat penis, though.
Right. That's fat penis fapping. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Jonathan Newman's going to come over to dinner because, like, her friend is, like, you know, totally hitting on him over the phone,
right.
of course.
Is Blanche Jewish?
No, she's Southern Baptist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's right. like wanted to check. Like, maybe, well, if she's not Jewish, maybe one of these other ones.
Right, she wanted to go see if the other women were Jewish. Wow.
It just seems weird, though. I know we're skipping ahead, but, like, why he cares they're Jewish? Because it's not like they're going to have kids. You know, a lot of times, like, the big deal
true.
Then
he's
is...
True, he's like 50.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, at least. In little person years.
Yeah. Right.
It's like a year and a month regular person
he's
years.
Like,
regular. See, look at us. We're just like them. Saying shrimp and this. Short rib. This is our sort of more.
We recorded this in the 60s, though.
But like, this is our version of. It's like less offensive, but still we can't,
right.
can't stop being offensive.
I don't think we are. We're not publishing this to like national television.
Oh, you are?
Oh, we
are. This. Bye-bye.
See you.
Well, that's
bye, Michelle.
Well, why did I drive all the way out to Tempe?
Her agent's going to be in touch with us.
What are your downloads at? Are they in the double digits?
No, zeros. No, I'm kidding.
No, they're good.
No, they're fine.
Some, it's getting on NPR.
It's yeah.
They're
yeah.
sending it out to NPR.
Nice.
It's gonna be on This American Life.
You're sending it out to NPR, right?
Yeah, I'm sending this.
Otherwise, then you leave.
I send every episode to NPR. Hopefully, they put it on.
Do you really?
No.
Anyway, so I don't think that's a bad idea.
In this.
Anyway,
okay. All right, and so
yeah, I said penis, and
I said come on my tits,
fapping,
fat penis. And so they come in, and so she says, well, this is around the part where she's like, I also have dreams about sex. I also have dreams about food. And so while she's talking, the doorbell rings, and she's like, yeah, lucky me, I'm always having sex in my dreams, blah 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 blah. She opens the door, mm-hmm. and then she sees Dr. Newman, mm-hmm. and he says, like,
all 3 foot 5 of him,
and he's just like, look, he's just looking up at her, and then she just slams the door in his face and says, we're already subscribed to the Miami Herald, sorry,
little boy.
Now what plan? I mean, like, that is so
no. I don't believe it, because I think Blanche can recognize a man when she sees him.
But no, and also,
I'm with you, Leslie. I think that she can recognize a man.
Yeah.
And also, like, she also his voice. She didn't question his voice over the phone, because it's very like, it sounds like a munchkin from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, he doesn't not have a sort of like, yeah. you know.
There's no way she didn't blurt it out on the phone.
It's not right. like he's James Brolin or something. It's Sam Elliott.
Oh, God, if only that could have gotten. Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is that Blanche knew something was wrong with him because Rose isn't bringing
him
around.
See, there you go again. Wrong with him. Huh? Nothing wrong
no,
with little people.
He's not. It's okay. You're right.
I'm just kidding.
We're being as politically incorrect as
not,
the episode.
No, we are not. But
no, maybe. Maybe not.
Way.
In her own way. But Blanche should have known that there's something that is different about him, and so she wants to tease him, and that's tease her about it, okay. you know, and okay. that's why she invited him,
that's
and so
that's what you
she
think.
Did successfully tease him and her about it, you know, so but she did it in such a reactive way, like it wasn't intentional, like she acted like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, it's like it was weird, like that whole part where it was just like all of them though, like Dorothy and Blanche, like,
yes.
they're sort of like, I mean, Sophia was the complete least of it, and that was the joke too, they thought she was going to say
right.
something so bad, but it's like they really did act like he was a Martian, and how are we going to be around this person? I mean, like,
yeah.
I can't even believe I'm just, you know, we can't imagine what it was like at that exact time in the, like, were you thinking about little people in the 80s? Like, I wasn't. I know they were, you know, like around.
Right. Let me think. Well, and the thing, I was in the lesbian bars.
Yeah,
I may have been.
Okay.
We get it, Leslie. You yes. were in the lesbian
in the
bars.
Well, there were lesbian midgets.
Yeah. I'll mention it again before the podcast
guys,
is over.
Can you stop touching Michelle's boobs?
Is this like some sort of like the sort of magic word or something? Like, okay, we ask a quiz at the end, okay?
What
Make sure
word?
You repeat you were at the lesbian bars a million times so people can win the
Make
prize.
Make sure you mention it later in the episode. Uh-huh. Also in the-
Uh-huh.
But okay,
I
think
yes.
I think you're like, and it's these women didn't have 50 years of life experience to learn how to behave in front of somebody.
Yeah.
Like, there was like, what? You know, they've been around, they've seen.
Well, and they were
people.
All like, when they were talking about like, sort of like, oh, that's so awful that back in those days that, you know, you couldn't be out in public with someone just because they were black. Like, really, you're sensitive now? You
right.
just sort of, like, could not even operate yourself in front of a little person.
Right. So it switches off, like, their value, their moral ethic. Mm-hmm. It's just all over
I
the place.
I still posit that Sophia was taken out of the episode because there was too much similarity between her and
I
the man.
I think that's a really, really good point because she was only a little bit taller.
A little
and
bit taller.
If she was around the whole time, I agree with you.
There would have been
battled,
a connection.
It's
they
more
made
fun
out.
To see like yeah. Dorothy and... But no, but he didn't seem... It wasn't as extreme,
mm-hmm.
you know? His
yeah.
sort of, you know...
There was less of a height difference between... Yeah,
yeah, it
She's
wasn't too much.
An old lady.
Right. And so, okay. And so Blanche is just freaking out. Well, Dorothy gets up because the doorbell rings again. Mm-hmm. And she answers the door and she actually makes eye connection with him. Mm-hmm. And he says, "I'm Dr. Jonathan Newman."
And she says, "Are you sure?
Are you absolutely sure?" I'm like, really? And I thought that was a weird character decision for them to make about mm-hmm. Dorothy. Like, she's an educated woman, you mm-hmm. know, she's an English teacher.
She knows French.
She knows French. Yeah. She's liberal as far as I've seen in this series so far. She's liberal. And so it was strange for me to see her act that way, you know. And so she says, can I take your hat? Can I take your height?
Height.
Take your height.
And they both laugh, and then they look at each other and have a genuine moment of connection, I feel.
Yeah.
Really?
After that joke, yeah.
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 I didn't think that he caught it. Maybe he did. Okay,
no, he did. They both laughed. Like, right. Sort of like, he was like, I'm here to sort of say, it's okay, I get it, you're nervous, you know. But then at the same time, there's other things like, you know, with... you know, the jokes, and then like when they bring out the shrimp, you know,
right.
And then it was almost like, I thought it was funny when just like, oh, let's get the hors d'oeuvres. Would you like some shrimp? And then she just walks out, which is very funny, but I'm like, it's more offensive that she walked out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let the man have a piece of shrimp,
right.
You know?
Let him enjoy shrimp. I thought it was weird that she reacted that way also. Like, it should have been more, like, for the joke, she could have just, you know, not walked out, like, you know, I don't know, she could have, like, there could have been more conversation about the shrimp, but
she
was just
eaten one and stuffed it into her mouth,
yeah,
she's
like, to shut herself up,
yeah,
right? I think that would have been good.
Yeah, she's like, do you want some?
Right.
Or Dorothy grabs the shrimp and shoves it into her mouth.
That's actually,
yeah, that would have been good too.
That would have been good.
It's like asking an African American man, how do you take your coffee? Mm-hmm. Black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then being,
yeah,
then
you
being
freak
all
out.
Freaked out about that,
right? But I've had black people say black, and no one died.
Sure,
yeah.
Not
when
like
I served them coffee,
you get nervous about saying bicycle around a trans person.
It was funny because you said that, and you said it like trance, and you were like trans person.
When you tell,
because you knew where it would be if you just.
Or when you tell,
do they call him trans?
Or like when you're a mechanic and a tranny,
right?
A transsexual person
it comes in,
your transmission fluid needs to be filled. They're like, do you want your trans?
Yeah.
Yes.
When I worked at Evite a long time ago, and it was really funny thing happened where there was one lesbian woman who worked in. I think it was customer support. Mm-hmm. And then one of the project managers was this really nice woman. And she was like in her 20s. I was in my 20s too. Mm-hmm. And then there was another guy who worked there. And Cynthia was the customer service lady's name. Mm-hmm. And we were all young. We were not lady. Makes it seem older. This was, you know, about 10 years ago. And then it was funny because there was something wrong with her computer or some sort of email, and the girl was coming over trying to get her like more information, and she was asking, so who is the person, which email, who's the person's email? And the guy's last name was Dyke. And she it was kind of like that, like she could not bring herself saying it goes to a lesbian customer service. And she was like, I don't know if I knew it was happening when it happened. I think I knew immediately after, and or like while, like it was just like she just didn't want to say Dyke to this woman. That was his last name.
Mr. Dyke is here to pick up his
car.
Yeah,
she was like, what's his last name? And she's just like, it's Dyke. But anyhow, it was pretty funny.
That's great.
Funny to me.
That's great. That's just like this episode.
Everyday life.
It was.
Yeah. Like people do react that way mm-hmm. sometimes, I guess.
Short ribs.
Yeah. Then that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just say Dyke.
Yeah. Just say Dyke.
Fucking last name.
Fucking A. Yeah. So then for the listener, like Blanche embarrassingly just said the word shrimp, which mm-hmm. is like a sin, I guess.
Walked back into the kitchen.
Yeah. And then what was funny is like Jonathan Newman, he's like sitting on the couch and he's like, I'm going to have fun teasing her. And I was like, and like his face, was really like, I don't know, like creepy. Like,
yeah.
You know, he reminded me of the Teddy Ruxpin doll.
Well, that's
I think that's what it
yeah,
was.
Really?
Well,
yeah, because of the recorder on his
suit. Yeah. The suit and the tie.
The outfit. It was kind of the same color scheme, actually.
Yeah, the way he was sitting on the couch, too.
No.
Yeah, he was sort of like
Rose's Teddy Ruxpin doll.
Mm-hmm. Sitting weird. Yeah.
So then he says, well, what's on the menu?
Yeah, what's on the menu?
And then stupid smile.
Dorothy, like, perfect timing.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. Yeah,
she's just,
and the whole look
face,
down,
like,
and she realizes what she has to say,
right.
And she's so upset.
So
looks up, and she's like, short ribs.
So perfect.
It was pretty good.
Does it fade out right there? Is there a fade out?
They crossfade.
Okay.
If you want to get technical.
Yeah, thank you.
You think Rose knew the guy is a little person. You think she couldn't go and maybe we shouldn't have short ribs. Hey,
right.
Shrimp
didn't
could
she
also
know?
Mean like a, okay,
Rose
let's
not
stop.
The smartest either. Maybe she picked it out.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a lamb.
Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with
this
that?
This conversation.
Yeah.
So, or Sophia, Sophia's got bottles of clam sauce everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She didn't have it all.
Nothing short-sounding about that.
Right, no. They could have cooked clams.
Unless you're talking about little necks.
Oh!
I don't know what that means.
Little neck clams.
Oh, got it.
Sorry.
I think you said little mechs.
Little
oh, like,
mechs.
Is that like a joke between
mechs,
you two or something?
Little mechs
like,
right here.
Yeah.
Little necks.
Little necks, got it. Little necks.
Clarify.
So then, that's the whole thing about the short ribs. And then they mm-hmm. come in from the patio. And like,
is that how many notes you took?
Yeah. For the listeners,
it's all in your head. It's all in your head.
For the listeners' visual, there's four words written on my piece of paper.
It's all milks, eggs, bread.
Yeah. Short ribs.
Mnemonic.
Lesbian bar.
Yeah.
That's all I've got written down. That's all I've got written down.
Teddy
Ruxpin.
Teddy Ruxpin. Okay.
Go on.
So they come in and he's like, oh, yeah. So when I was in Nairobi, guess who was sitting at the bar? My roommate from Harvard.
Mm.
Right. And then Blanche is like, oh, what a small world.
Ugh.
And then everybody shuts down. I'm like, really?
And you know they just want to get to that
poor
line.
Guy.
So then they just, it's like a backwards writing thing. Like, okay, so just come in and say this last, you know, like. Then we're going to have this joke. You know, like someone's like, okay, on a white, they didn't have a chalkboard. On a slate, whatever they did in the 80s.
Yeah.
Let's write down all the short jokes we can. Let's work backwards.
Right.
And I love Golden Girls, but it is funny. Like the sitcom sort of like, you know.
The setup.
Yeah, the punchline. Yeah.
It's almost like, I always think like, it's almost like they write the punchlines first and then they build the story around it.
Yeah.
Like, what's really funny? And so then she apologizes and. And then that's when he says, you know what, don't be self-conscious about my height because everybody has something to get over with. And the point of that is to move on from that. And so he goes into this speech about that.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
So he says that also to fast forward at the very end. Why is he dump her when she's heck? Him, he can't get over the fact that she's not true.
Right.
It's just weird.
That's
he's
really
an
weird.
Asshole. I'm glad
he
glad
is
they're
an
not
asshole,
together.
Especially
he's a dick.
Because this is the second time I watched it. Mm-hmm. So then this time I watched at the end of the night. I'm sorry for skipping ahead, Anthony. I know you
no,
have
that's
a thing.
No, that's fine.
But when I see them, when he's actually inviting her out on the date, he does not say it in any length. He says it just for the effect of the sitcom to make her think that she wants something serious. Because why would you ever, if you're going to break up with someone, being like smiling and being like, do you want to have dinner? Do you want to have dinner after work? There's something I really want to talk to you about.
Right.
Why would you
say it
like that?
Like, I'm going to
dump you. Because of your religion. Because I'm a 70-year-old whose parents
maybe,
are probably dead.
Maybe
I mean,
he's a sociopath.
Right.
Yeah, like
weird.
He is older.
Narcissistic.
Like, yeah.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, I can't wait to be in a public place.
He's a shrink.
He's
a shrink, for God's sake.
Yeah. Why would he miss that whole joke?
He's a shrink.
Why?
So far, we've written two jokes. She should have stuffed the shrimp in her mouth.
No. Why? No,
and
but that's
him being a shrink.
The shrimp thing is like our better rewriting of the scene.
Yeah,
the
right,
shrink
right.
thing is a
right?
joke.
They didn't.
Why would they have not done that?
They missed it. They totally
they did not.
Missed
they can't.
It.
They just couldn't make it work. I guess, but
right.
it was just dumb. Like
they had all
so
these papers crumpled
no.
up.
Shrink. Comedy intern was like, what about Shrink? And they were like, nah, we can't.
You Golden Girls intern.
Right. It's Jerry Seinfeld.
It probably was. I was just thinking, it's probably someone like famous.
Right. Also, okay, this is a joke that they missed also, because during that speech, he's like, I mean, believe me, I wish I could be the center. I wish I could be the center of the Boston Celtics.
Oh, right.
And then the Boston Celtics, like, their mascot is a leprechaun.
Well, you could be the... Yeah, you could have been the mascot.
You missed a joke right there, too.
Wait, where are they? Where are they? They're not in Boston. Okay,
and
thanks.
He's a ginger, midget, little person, whatever he's now. We probably fucked it up trying to be politically correct here. But the leprechaun is a ginger too. So, like, if you're the center,
wow,
it would be a riot.
Wow.
Go
these,
for it.
These are my other notes. Well, we also talked about how what they were drinking. They were holding this weird, like, Bailey's chocolate, something liqueur.
It was like a.
They were never no one
a
took
mini
a drink.
In these fluted glasses.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
I think they were trying to make him look bigger with the tinier glasses, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he's a giant. Look at that huge. Yeah. They should have been like, oh, we just gave you poured a magnum of this liqueur.
Like, maybe they only had, like, giant goblets, and and they're like, oh.
They were embarrassed about it. They're like, we can't have him. And his hands aren't going to fit around this glass.
Like, he just couldn't hold
them.
And
those are like, let's go to the toy store and buy an alcohol set. And then it was funny. So after he leaves, when she says, he just has the most positive attitude. Like, what person are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right.
That guy is not, like, he's not the most positive attitude. Like, hi, I'm Dr. Newman.
Right.
No, like, it's like.
I'm from Harvard.
Yeah, like, he's not, that's not what I, Rose, come on.
But with that, I started to believe that the message of this was of this episode, if they were doing any favor to midgets at all, they were like, if you're a midget, you have to go to Harvard, or you have to, like, in order for people to accept you, you need to, like, be smart, you need to be worldly, you need to be a psychiatrist, have a PhD, like,
and then you can break up with ladies too.
Yeah, like, you can be a dick too and be totally close-minded. Yeah. It was almost like he was kind of oblivious to himself being a midget. Like, he was just like he was not aware at all that Rose, like, even had any, like.
Yeah, it was a weird, because at first he was, like, trying to put everybody at ease, and then he kind of was the opposite of that.
I feel like he looked down on everyone.
Yes, he did. And isn't that ironic?
I honestly thought that he was going to break up with Rose because she was dumb. Like, it was leading
up. That would have made more sense.
That, right?
Like, that would have made more sense.
You're just not smart enough for me, Rose. Like,
that would have made more sense.
Honestly, that's what I thought. Like, I thought that's what was going to happen.
This big toothy grin.
Because, like, they kept saying that he's smart, and I was just like, where is this connection?
Right.
Where, like, he's Harvard grad, he's a psychiatrist. Rose is just a grief counselor. Like, mm-hmm. How is this meshing, you know? And also, how are they fucking?
They weren't. That's why she said, she goes, well, I guess I'll never try this.
I guess I'll never know. You're right.
That was the other weird, when I was like, what? Oh, so that's how old people do? Like, you know, like. And then, the other little line, Sophia, when she was like, oh, is he a midget?
Right.
I thought I was having another stroke. Like, what? That's.
How many strokes has she had?
She had a stroke before she moved into Shady Pines.
Yeah.
And so that was referenced.
But then, like, but no, but also, like, that's, well, whatever. She's making a joke. She's,
right.
like, being snarky and making a joke. Mm-hmm. But then, like, when I think of it, like, you know, like, the classic stroke line is, oh, you smell pancakes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's like, oh, you burnt toast.
Right.
Like, you smell something, mm-hmm. like, but, you know, you just say anything, like, yeah. I don't think of, like,
right.
you know what I mean? It's like, that's not what you think of. It's not like, oh, I thought it was tripping. I thought maybe there was something that clam sauce went bad and, like, you know.
Any one of those.
Or she could have said, I thought my pills are acting up.
Thank you for improving the joke, you guys.
Took.
Yeah, so when he said stroke, I was just like, that's not what I think of. It was lazy writing.
Lazy writing.
But then again, at the same time, like, you know, I feel like maybe that's something that's been developed since then. And in
you
the 80s, they weren't, like, people weren't making the smell something stroke kind of a, you know.
There wasn't that anagram stop or sign or whatever that.
Right.
So, anyhow.
And so, and along with Sophia, like, when she comes in, they were, like, really shocked. And that goes, and this is, like, where like, the plot of that just sort of falls apart. The plot of visiting the kids, yes, right? Yeah. And they're like, Mom, what are you doing here? The doofus didn't graduate.
And also, your mom comes back on a plane, and you don't know that she was like.
And you don't pick her up. Yeah, she just takes a cab.
Taxi cabs everywhere.
Like on a it's like crazy.
I don't think she went. Like she had Rose give her a ride somewhere, and Rose doesn't know where the airport is. Yeah. She had her drop her off somewhere. Yeah. She went and gambled.
She picked the stupidest one to take her to the airport.
She was selling clam sauce off the side of the road. Yeah. She was just fucking around, and then she shows up. You know, She didn't go anywhere.
Okay.
But, and then.
I want to see that show.
Yeah. Right.
The show McSurley's and the thing.
Yeah.
This McSurley's Super Bowl.
I want to see Golden Girls as Family Guy with all the back flashing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cut back to this. Back flashing.
Look at that back.
All right. Oh. That's my lady.
And then
writing.
She's like, oh, and all he did, he failed out of animal grooming school. All he did was shoot a BB gun and at camps and drink beer.
It's like I feel like, okay, so they're white trash.
Right, that's what I got.
She's working. So she's working all day. She's welding, though. It was just a sort of like, it was just a weird sort of like lots of information about this family. I guess maybe we had heard more information, so this would make sense to me. It was just, this is all I was hearing for the first time.
Well, the information that we have about Phil thus far is that he gives Sophia cheese for Christmas, which was funny. He makes a nativity scene made out of cheese for her or something, and that he never calls her, and that's he's like her least favorite. But you never hear about his wife or kids until this time.
Oh, okay. Weird.
Yeah. So,
a lot of information then.
Yeah. So but you never meet Phil. Like, there's never an actor for Phil. And so they paint this entire world. It's kind of like Niles' wife in Frasier, where you never see her. What was her name? Gladys or something.
No.
Mavis. I don't know.
Mavis.
Mavis. Is it Mavis? Yeah. Okay. So that didn't check out. And so, and then when she meets the midget,
You keep saying midget. You are in 2014. Say little person or dwarf. Well,
2015.
Sophia's midget in this.
I know.
Oh, man. Okay. I feel so bad now. Wow. Okay. So, and so after that, Dr. Newman has to go.
For some reason.
Yeah.
I can't have coffee. I gotta go. Like,
I gotta
he's a superhero or something. I thought that was weird. Right? Like, some sort of, like, why?
Did he look at his watch? Oh, he did the classic.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta go. I can't have this coffee we're gonna have. I gotta go. Right now.
Right.
It's late. Like, what time is it?
Somebody's having a wet dream.
You can't have coffee for 10 minutes? Like, that's weird.
Maybe he turns into a pumpkin or something. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
What's the opposite of what is it? A Jewish person who hates everyone else? Not an ant. What's the opposite?
A Jewish
person? I don't think there's an opposite.
A Semite?
That's just it.
Anti-Semite?
No, then the opposite is like you're a bigot or a xenophobe.
Right. Oh, all right.
There's not
it just goes
not
directly
opposite.
To the...
Right, you're a xenophobe.
Just goes directly to xenophobe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
There's not an opposite.
Just curious. What's it called when a Jew hates people?
What about Jew on Jew crime?
Yeah, but Jews hate a lot of people too. And so he leaves, and then Rose is like, that's when he's like, you gotta meet me for dinner, you know, like, I have something to say to you.
You gotta meet me for dinner.
I have something to say to you.
The most personality he had that whole time is when he's saying, you wanna have dinner after
that's
work
what I see is
night.
Dinner theater, see his dinner theater experience really coming out.
Yeah.
You know, Rose.
Rose.
Do his voice though.
Rose.
I have something to say
to
you.
Little lollipop guild. I don't care. I'm gonna say it.
Yeah.
Do it. Rose, I've got something to tell you.
Rose,
meet me for dinner.
And
he touches her hand and leaves.
Yeah, touches her hand. Twirls very lovingly. He's such a player, dude. He's a player, I'm telling you. And so he probably gave his phone number to Blanche. Who knows?
Probably.
And so he takes off, and then they go into the Rose is like, I think he's going to ask me to marry him.
Right.
Right. And that's when, like, Blanche breaks the glasses and they're just shocked. Like, it's like
Dorothy is staring.
No way this can happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should have been like, because he seems like kind of a prick.
Right.
Yeah.
But
right.
They
just finished. Nothing to do with his height.
Yeah.
Right. Just, but I'm sorry to interrupt you. But they just finished saying, like he's an amazing guy just because he was charming at dinner. Anybody can be charming. Doesn't mean you're a
like
good
a
guy.
Ted Bundy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm scared of charmers. I think, like, if you're a charmer, something's wrong with you. I'm going to find out later. This is too good to be true, you know? You're going to be fucking
like that,
yelling at me about something later.
That walking bracelet you're wearing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, my walking bracelet.
Charming off the top. Mm-mm.
So charming. And so then the cuts the commercial, they come back and they're still in the same spot. And then they're like, what are you going to do? She says, I don't know. And then they go and clean up, like Rose and Dorothy clean up Blanche's mess. And then Blanche starts saying, like, I have gone through a similar situation. When I was growing up in high school, there was a young man back in the 50s.
Benjamin.
Oh, yeah.
These two, they're back in the, you have to understand, in the South, two different types of people could not go together. And if the bigots found out, they would have, like, not been happy. And then it turns out that he was, like, from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said that line so funny, though. It's, like, the best line. Like, I went to prom with a Yankee. Like, I loved it. Like, it was like,
Black?
I would never.
With a Yankee. She didn't say that. But with a Yankee. Yeah. Like, that's like, what?
He was from New Jersey. Wow.
I just imagine, like, this guy in, like, with, like, a mullet and a leather jacket.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, come on, Blanche.
How you doing?
Let's go to prom. What are you talking about?
I don't know what accent that is.
The New Jersey accent. That's not very New Jersey. Okay. And so then Dorothy's just like, you're an idiot, Blanche.
Yeah.
And so then Rose is like, I'm really confused right now because
I'm going to go lay down.
You're talking about New Jersey. And so that's very confusing to Rose. And so she goes and lays down.
Right on the edge of the bed. The very, very edge of the bed.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's because Charlie slept on the other side, maybe. She's still sentimental.
Jesus, make me cry.
Sorry. I don't know. Maybe that's her actress choice. Okay. And so then that's when we start seeing the dream. And the dream, I love the dream. I wish.
Yeah, the dream is great. Yeah.
I wish
there
the
was
whole
a dream.
Show
yeah.
was how they acted on the dream.
I felt like that they must have been laughing in between takes because they were just being so, like, funny, like, over the top, you know.
That would have been such a fun, like, scene to do.
Yeah.
Then I love all their movements. I love, like Dorothy comes in and she's like, ready to go, come on. Like, and then Blanche is, like, very airy with her hands.
Her hands are so funny.
So good. And then she's like, let's go, Rose. Everyone's waiting for you.
Yeah, that's and what then, they talked, yeah.
Yeah, and then Blanche is like, and then she's like, I'm not ready. No, not Blanche, Rose. And then Blanche is like, did you guys fight? And she's like, no. I think marrying Jonathan is a mistake.
I never knew you did voices so well.
Yeah.
I've been critiqued about my, like, I act out whole scenes in the podcast. And so
actually Michelle Balloon and I are our parts are being played by Anthony
Decimato. I couldn't be here.
I'm just throwing my voice three voices are going at once. I love when she's like I think marrying Jonathan is a mistake. He's so much shorter than I am. And then Dorothy's like, really? I never noticed. And then everybody's like, me either. And yeah, and so that was great.
Sophia
and then
runs in.
Sophia comes in out of the closet wearing like a priestess outfit. And she's like, and so Rose is like, what are you doing? Why are you dressed as like a priest?
She's dressed like the Pope. Did she have a Pope's hat on?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
She wasn't dressed like the Pope. She was dressed like a priest, but it was just she had her purse. That was
She had her purse on. Yeah. Even in the dream, she had her purse, and she's like, that doesn't make sense. Why would you marry us? And today it's like, you never get married by a priest. Today you get married by your friend that got officiated online.
True.
You know. It's,
true.
Yeah.
The Redeemer, the Church of the whatever that online
something
churches.
Like that.
Yeah.
I heard, I don't know exactly what it's called.
It was at a gay marriage last night, in fact.
Really?
In the backyard. Cool.
Yay.
It was, nice. And it was officiated by his friend who got his...
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just say it again.
Yeah. Wed.
You're a lesbian.
Lesbian bar.
Lesbian bar. Was it a lesbian bar?
Hey, thanks, you guys. I wasn't anywhere near there, but I appreciate you bringing it up.
It was at the Cashin. It was country themed.
I guess I did mention it a little bit too many times. It was the 80s.
Yeah. Just to let you guys know, listeners, if you're a lesbian, Leslie's single, that's what she's trying to
I'm
hit.
Not into women anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're not.
Okay. I just like talking
cyclical.
About it. I like right. talking about it, yeah.
Like and so then her dad comes out, and he's like this little midget. And mm-hmm. he comes out of the closet, too.
Right.
I'm like, you're both in the closet?
Right.
Oh. What are you
no,
doing?
Was that Billy Barty?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
Master thespian, by
yeah,
the way.
Speaking of Lollipop
yeah.
Guild.
Yeah.
So he was yeah. he in the Lollipop Guild?
I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
But yeah. I mean, he's like the guy.
The go-to.
The go-to.
Yeah.
The
go-to. I'm glad he got a part on that.
Well, yeah, and he's like, his face is barely keeping it together. So I'm like, you know.
I would rather he played the
why
Rose's
not?
Love
if you're
going to
go not handsome, why not
yeah,
go
right?
all the
go
way
all
full
out.
On? Yeah. He at least is charming.
Maybe he had a part somewhere else. He can only be there for a small, the dream sequence.
Yeah.
Right.
And I like it. He had overalls on. Like, there's just all
he's
sorts
just like
of
a farmer.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Rose's farmer dad.
Right.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I can't, I don't remember you being this small. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it was like I thought, like, if I were to analyze someone's dream and that happened, it would be like, I would think, like, you are associating Jonathan with your dad
mm-hmm.
because your dad is a little person in the dream. And so you need to, I don't know, get over some, work on some dad issues before you commit to a relationship.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of weird that he was also little.
Well, they had to dumb it down for the audience too.
Right.
To dumb the psychology of it. Obviously it's a metaphor for her father.
Yeah.
She's got father
right.
issues.
Father issues. And so then she's like, then she's like, do you think it's a good idea for me to get married, daddy? And then he's like, you can't predict the future. And that's when Blanche is like, actually, you can.
Oh, right. And
yeah.
then Jean Dixon makes
Jean
her walk
Dixon
on.
Jean Dixon comes in.
And she like, she, I was noticing, like, she like outfashioned everybody. She kind of looked fabulous.
She really did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm going to look insane in this house.
And I love it because like when she sort of did her predictions, it's like, you know, RIP, you know,
yes.
Lady Di, RIP Ted Kennedy,
right.
RIP Jackie O.
Right. It was kind of weird that
yeah,
well,
that
except,
was a slice
except
of time,
Brooke
you know?
Shields. She's still alive.
Yeah, well, she's a younger lady.
But she's going to.
She's still pretty.
Lady
yeah.
Di.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're she right said, though. She said, maybe Brooke Shields is going to die.
What?
Eventually
it's all connected to Jean Dixon. Well, she said Princess Di and Brooke Shields are gonna be in a
musical.
In a musical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most absurd, that's the most absurd thing they could think of.
Yeah.
Right. I think they would be in like Hairspray. Because they said comedy musical. I think there would be Brooke Shields and her. I think so.
It would be absurd if Brooke Shields wasn't an actor.
Wasn't you know an mean? Actor, like she
yeah,
never
because,
acted.
Yeah, because Lady, she is an actor, so why is it absurd she be in
right,
anything?
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
It should have been Princess Di and
Di.
Somebody else. That's not an actor.
Groucho
Lady
Marx.
Di and Ted Kennedy.
Right.
Oh, right. See?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan comes out of, well, then they kick her out.
And Jean he gets out of the bathroom.
He comes out of the bathroom and he's like,
which,
whoa, what's happening?
Hey, wait a minute. So what does that mean in dreams, the bathroom? Does anybody know?
Maybe he's
sitcom dreams.
He represents he represents
dream.
Shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. He's a little shit.
Oh.
There you go.
Did you just say little shit?
Yes.
Wow.
And then they had to wake. She's like, "Yes, I'll marry you. Yes, yes." And then they come in and wake her up. And then did you notice how Dorothy wakes her up by like
on her butt,
holding her butt?
Yeah.
Like
oh, I didn't notice
her
that.
Using this as an excuse.
That too.
I noticed it right away. I noticed it in both viewings. She's like.
Yeah,
really,
literally,
at the butt.
A handful. She has, yeah, she has
that.
Her entire butt in both of her hands.
And I was like,
her.
I was thinking of them as actors. I'm just like, why did she need to grab my butt? Do you do like lower back?
And
you know, my leg.
And Rose just keeps saying yes, yes.
In the South, you wake somebody up by grabbing their butts.
She's from she's a Yankee.
Yeah.
Dorothy
was the butt grabber.
Dorothy was the butt grabber.
Dorothy's the butt
Rose
grabber.
Rose was on the other side.
And so then Rose wakes up and she's like, I need to marry him. Everybody in my dream told me to. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, great. And then Sophia comes in and she's like, what's all the ruckus? She's like, I decided that I'm going to stay with him, with Jonathan. And she's like, okay, well, then let him out of that pillowcase.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of a funny joke.
Yeah.
Did you? I was just like,
I enjoyed it.
Did you?
But you said it, you look at the pillowcase, like, I thought it was funny.
Okay.
It was good visual gag.
It was a good visual gag, yeah.
I was thinking mathematically, could he? Yeah.
Well, no, but like, I think it was big enough to sort of like get the sort of joke. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what it was, the camera focused on her for so long, you forgot that she by the time the camera went back to Rose, she was holding the pillow a man.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay.
Sorry, Anthony.
No, it's good. No, I'm glad you liked it. I'm not saying don't like Golden Girls joke. Okay.
I can appreciate a good visual gag.
Good. All right, so the next scene is actually the last scene, the dinner. And it's like at this really fancy French restaurant.
Mm. And well, I mean.
Right.
Did you see those extras?
Yeah.
They're really fancy. I noticed one of the extras was a waiter in an episode before this. And I was like, oh, it's his day off. he goes in and eats at that
restaurant.
He must
get a discount.
He eats at that restaurant.
In the service industry discount. And so they're having it's the end of the dinner because they're like, did you enjoy your trout? Yes, I love trout. What do you call trout in French? Le trout, he says.
Yeah.
And so then he's like, listen, Rose, I need to tell you something. And then Rose just gets all like blushy, like he's going to propose to her. Mm-hmm. And he's like,
she's ready to say yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says, I care about you, but we cannot ignore this. This is something serious. In order for something to work, we need to, both people and both parties need to accept the other for who he is. And I don't think that can ever happen between us. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, you're wrong. I can't accept you.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you're small. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, whoa.
Right.
Small?
He gets all flexy on her.
Yeah, he starts flexing.
It was just weird. It was like a back and forth. First he was flexy, then he like got mad at her, and then he made it like a joke, and it was thing, and then
and then she's just like, he's like, because you're not Jewish, and then she starts freaking out.
Right.
Good for her.
She stands up.
As she
I
should.
Didn't like that she stopped freaking out and laughed.
Right.
I was like,
she should have they both calmed down and sat down. But it was weird that, like, he was trying not to get attention and he stood up. Like, I was like, if you're trying to calm someone down, you don't stand up. You bring them down. You don't stand up. And so then they're like, oh, look at us. We're being really silly bigots. Yeah. Like,
it was almost the same shared look that he had with Dorothy when she opened the door and said, can I take your height?
Yeah.
Right.
It
was just a weird
classic.
Yeah. And then she's like, okay, well, this was great. I really liked being with you.
Right.
Although when he stood up, he really still just looked like he was sitting down.
It did.
Ah.
Definitely did. Yeah, so it didn't really matter. And so they said, like, it was really nice hanging out with you, not having sex with you because they didn't have
sex.
Right. And so, so they were just, so what it comes to is, like, the message of this is that if you're like Christian, I think she's Christian, and you're Jewish and you're different, it's okay if you don't date, or it's okay if you never get together. Like, that's not conclusive for me. Like you're just saying that it's okay for two people who are from different religions to not
get together. I don't even think, it was just a little switcheroo. I don't even think they they didn't think about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just like, it's not that. It's because you have a problem, you know?
Classic.
You're not Jewish.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I don't know. It just seemed weird that they couldn't figure it out. If they really liked each other. Yeah, they could have made it work.
He was just an asshole.
He didn't like her.
I think in the back of her head.
Yeah, you're right. He was just like, oh, here's something I can say.
In the back of her head, she was uncomfortable with him being small. And he was uncomfortable with her being dumb or something.
He's pretty sure he could do better.
Yeah.
That's where it came down to. And you know what? They also made a big deal about calling it trout. They had trout. Okay, they had trout. Then the waiter comes up and says, how was your shrimp?
Yeah. Right. They're right. That's annoying.
Yeah. They had
She's trapped. Like, I guess I'll never know.
Right. I guess I'll never know.
Yeah.
I know. He tells the waiter, like, TMI, like he's Jewish. We'll never be together.
Yeah. Right.
And the waiter's like, okay, do you live in the 60s? Yeah. Like, is this the 50s? Or, like that, you guys are, yeah.
I want to see the show where the waiter sits down with them at the end and helps them discover their true meaning of their lives and love can come from anywhere and it's the waiter with wings.
No, the waiter was too busy feathering his hair.
Yeah, the waiter was weird tough. It
looked, right.
He didn't look like a maitre d'. He looked like he was just a guy who was at a ball or charity dinner or something.
He wasn't the waiter. He was just this guy. Hey, how was your shrimp?
I thought you had trout. I want to know how your shrimp was. To be a dick.
Right? Right?
Midget.
I know you're not going to tip because you're Jewish. I'm an asshole.
Well, he probably wouldn't. Okay, so so we did it, guys. Yay! That was so much fun.
Door slam.
Right.
I walked out.
I can't wait to love anyone I can find.
Anyone.
I can't wait to find love with anyone who will have me.
Jewish, lesbian, dyke.
My clam sauce is getting old. All right.
So, Michelle, this comes out on Wednesday. Do you have any shows that you would like to plug?
Well, I live in Philly now. So if you live in the Philly area or, you know, if you live in Phoenix or wherever you live, go to my website. Mm-hmm. Balloon.com, B-I-L-O-O-N. Sign up for my mailing list. It's city specific. So when I have shows in your city, you know, here, Minnesota, anywhere, just any city I will take, I will send out emails about it. I got some stuff in Philly coming up. I'll actually be opening for Patton Oswalt on the 10th at the Tower Theater in Upper Darby outside of Philly, which should be a fun show. And there's still tickets left for that. Also, I'll be... at the Velveeta Room in Austin, Texas, in January, I think like the third weekend, and I'll be at the Comedy Corner Underground in Minneapolis in the last weekend of February. So those are my shows coming up.
Excellent.
Awesome. And how can we find you on Twitter or on
Twitter,
Facebook?
At Balloon, B-I-L-O-O-N, at Balloon on Twitter, Facebook, Michelle Balloon. Please like my fan page.
I have.
And thank you, Leslie. Mm-hmm. And follow me on Twitter. Sign up for my mailing list. Watch all my stuff on the internet.
Tell us about your podcast.
Well, my podcast is currently on hiatus. We're probably going to pick it up again, but I also might be starting some new stuff. Mm-hmm. I have an old podcast called Walking with Michelle, which is it's not in production anymore, but people still listen to it. Mm-hmm. And then I have a podcast I did for the last year called the Balloon Forest Project, and that's a progressively political podcast with my friend Mary Forest,
too.
Which is really fun.
It's really fun.
So yeah.
And Leslie, what shows or things would you like to plug?
Nah. Hold on, let me think. I've got an art show coming up in end of January. Middle of January, I'll be with a remodernist group that I'm with. Otherwise, just get me on Twitter at Your Beautiful, YourBeautiful.
Oh, that's a good name.
Thank you. And I'm at Anthony DeSamita on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be at the House of Comedy from New Year's Eve until January 4th, opening for Robert Laporte.
Mm.
And that's in North Phoenix.
Robert Laporte or Rocky Laporte?
Oh, Rocky. Is it Rocky?
Yeah.
Rocky Laporte. I don't know. Something. They're not going to listen to this.
No, they're not. I just was like, who's Robert?
Robert. Uh-huh. Rocky Laporte.
I have an addendum.
You have an addendum?
I'm going up at the Hidden House on January 14th.
Oh, great.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, go see it. I love the Hidden House.
Yeah. And speaking of which, I'll be at the Hidden House January 7th for their all-new material show.
Excellent.
Woo! Along with our individual plugs, the podcast has their own Twitter. They're at TIFBAP, T-Y-F-B-A-P, which is the acronym of Thank You for Being a Podcast. And we're also on Instagram at @TIFBAP. Our page is facebook.com, /thank you for being a podcast. We're also on Stitcher and iTunes. The next episode is episode 14, That Was No Lady, .. So stay tuned for that.
Ooh, is that the trans episode? Trans
yeah,
trans,
the transmission trans one. Lady, your transmission's broken. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you guys for listening.
Bye.
Yay. Bye.
Bye, Genevieve. Bye-bye. Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take
the chicken.